Happy Friday, everybody. We're looking at the essential new releases for March 9th. I'm Robin Hilton from All Songs Considered, and we start this week's New Music Friday off with Third Story and the album Cold Heart.
Summer night, drinking wine by the fire, catching up. You're looking good, wish I could tell you I was over us. I get high every night when I'm all alone, 'cause it helps me forget that I'm feeling low. I told you I was doing fine, but it's a lie, don't you know? And if you want the truth, I'm still in love with you. No matter what I do, I'm still in love with you.
Third Story is the band. The album is called Cold Heart. And I am joined this week by NPR Music's Tom Heisinger.
Hey, Robin.
And Sydney Madden.
Hi, Robin.
Welcome back. And this is a new discovery for me. I didn't know Third Story. Tell me a bit about them. You turned me on to them.
Yeah, it was a bit of a new discovery for me as well. I found out about them at the tail end of 2017, just wandering around the internet, wandering around SoundCloud. They're a New York-based trio made of Elliot Skinner, Ben Lusher, and Richard Saunders. They gained a lot of notoriety online for their covers. They used to do a lot of covers of Taylor Swift and Sam Smith, and they dropped their debut project, Searching, in 2016. It was an EP, and they were going to follow it up with a debut album, but they actually got tapped to go on tour with Chance the Rapper. But yeah, it's got beautiful, soulful notes. Sometimes it's on a gospel tip. Sometimes I get John Legend's vibes from some of the tracks, like
yeah,
this one,
hear that. Yeah.
Still in Love. But they ride a line on pop. Like, there's a song called Searching for a Feeling that reminds me a lot of Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, it's a good one. Third Story, the record is Cold Heart, one of the mini releases out for March 9th. We're going to be all over the map on this episode.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover.
A lot to cover and a lot of different sounds. So from Third Story, we go to this beautiful work from pianist Brad Meldow. Brad Meldow is the artist, and the album's called After Bach. Tom, what is a jazz pianist doing playing Bach?
Well, Brad Meldow, who doesn't need much of an introduction, he's been making records since the mid-90s. He's got a very wide-ranging tastes at this point in his career, and it's I guess it's not surprising that he's making a Bach record, because it's not such a surprise that jazz musicians have been inspired by Bach. I mean, it's been happening for decades. You can go all the way back to 1937 when Stefan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt made a recording improvising around the Bach double concerto. So Bach has kind of this long history of inspiring jazz players. And so the idea on this record of Brad Meldow's is that he plays preludes and fugues from Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier. And then after the original Bach, he's got a tune of his own devising based on that Bach tune. So for instance, let's hear what he does with the prelude number 10 in E minor. First, let's hear the Bach original. Okay, this is classic Bach style. You've got three layers. You've got this ostinato-type bass line in the left hand, plus some block chords, and then this gorgeous singing melody on top in the right hand. All right, now let's hear what Meldow does with that. First, he takes that Bach left-hand accompaniment and kind of throws it in your face, all kind of jagged and chromatic. And now here, he transforms the right-hand melody into something very breezy of his own. There's all kinds of like super thoughtful, you know, fun transformations of Bach, the original, and then Meldau's version of Bach on the record. And I think that, you know, once again, it proves that Bach's music is so sturdy, so versatile, and ultimately, you know, so filled with humanity.
And is there any composer who's more rock and roll than Bach?
I tell you how
much his music has been ripped off over the ages and appeared in different pop, rock and pop songs.
If you've got a half an hour, I can bring you through parts of the St. Matthew Passion that you can match right up to rock and roll. It's amazing.
Yeah. The record is Brad Meldau's After Bach. It's really beautiful. Listen. And we're going to completely change gears again now and go to the artist known as Jeremy Messersmith and his record Late Stage Capitalism.
Silences, late night drunk text messages. I'm great at playing dumb. She doesn't care much for my politics, for sentimental atheists who disagree for fun.
Caroline, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, he definitely is cribbing from a lot of different decades, but particularly the late 60s, early 70s.
But he pulls it off.
Yeah, I think he does
too. He makes
it
his own.
He's been putting records out for more than a decade now, and we even had him in for a Tiny Desk back in the early days, back in 2010. But just he makes this sweetly infectious pop music with so much life in it, very joyful. In fact, he put out a songbook last year, Jeremy Messersmith did, a songbook called 11 Obscenely Optimistic Songs for Ukulele. I mean, he's not even pretending.
Very direct. Yes.
Well, this song is so great. It's actually it's a big kind of production number, and I can just see all the Busby Berkeley dancers coming out at the end and their feathered boas descending the staircase with this big flourish at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard a little bit of, when I listened to him, I think of a cross between maybe Burt Bacharach and the Four Seasons, maybe like Frankie Valli. I kept hearing the song Sherry in a lot of things.
I heard, almost on every song, I heard something. Happy borrows that kind of Beach Boys organ from Good Vibrations. Don't Call It Love reminded me of Nico's cover of These Days. And then Fast Times in Minnesota has got a real Belle and Sebastian feel to it.
The record Late Stage Capitalism by Jeremy Messersmith out now. Let's go to the band Young Fathers and their record Cocoa Sugar.
Someday I'll be a star to shine bright in the sky. I'm giving up on the best news. Give me lovers so I may have my pleasures and I lose my heart in the squalor. I've never seen wicked ones face to face, yet I've always seen brave men filled with tears. The older you get, the colder you get. Say yeah. Say yeah.
Say yeah. This is a band from Edinburgh in Scotland. Make super adventurous music that's always surprising, sort of a hybrid of, I don't know, hip-hop and rap, and they remind me a bit of TV on the Radio sometimes.
Yeah,
like
that's
the kind
true.
Of songs that they...
Although there are some pop melodies, but here, kind of dressed in very dark clothes with these ominous textures, scratchy, stabbing strings.
Yeah.
It's dark and kind of vulnerable and... And this is an intense record. I mean, this isn't something you just casually put on while you're doing the dishes.
No.
It demands attention.
Yeah. We focus on full albums on New Music Friday and records that deserve to be heard from start to finish. And this is one I thought the same thing. Like, you need to block out some time for uninterrupted listening. Just put your headphones on, no distractions, and spend some time with this record from Young Fathers. This is their third full-length, their debut full-length out in 2014 called Dead, actually won the Mercury Prize. And this new one's just incredibly arresting. Young Fathers, Cocoa Sugar. And from that, we go now to Lil Yachty and Lil Boat 2.
Never need nothing, they can have y'all diamonds like the rap of a butterfinger. Hit him, then my brother follow up, that's a double stinger. Told the bitch the truth, she run around like a Jerry Springer. It could be opera singer, two speeding tickets in a month, that's the Bentley coupe. Split check half with the gang, that's what brothers do. Check a bitch, check, make check, please. Ooh. Two cribs, six cars, under 22.
Oops. Oops.
It all goes by so fast, it's hard to catch everything.
Yeah, I think that's his point. He loves rapping in double time when he wants to show you, like, I can actually rap. Because a big thing about Yachty when he first came out was he was considered bubblegum rap, mumble rap, and it was a negative connotation that really followed him in the beginning of his career. He's only 20 years old. He's one of Atlanta's leading rappers. He came out when he was, like, 17, 18 in 2016 with his debut mixtape called Lil Boat. So this is the official follow-up to it, but it's a full album length. And you can tell from his debut album, Teenage Emotions, until now, he's tried to show people he can rap, he's tried to show people he can put together a cohesive piece of work, and he's tried to show people that he can match up to the features that are on his album. So he has a lot of big-name features on here. He's got Offset and Quavo from Migos, NBA Youngboy, Lil Pump, Trippy Red, 2 Chainz, and these are all, like, big names in the hip-hop world. And he's trying to say, oh, I can hold my own with these people, and I can rap double time when needed.
I love some of the spaciness on this record. Actually, you're talking about Trippy Red. There's that song called 1766.
And, yeah, the last
song
of the album.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love the ambient backing on there. It's really great. And I was surprised, too, that at just 20 years old, he put something together that sounds more mature, because he did catch some flack earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
On,
and, oh, yeah.
Remind me what he got flack for.
He got flack just because on Teenage Emotions, he was doing a lot of sing-song. He was doing a lot of...
People criticize his voice itself.
Yeah.
The voice... The tone, the content, people didn't believe what he was talking about. Robin and I were talking about this earlier. I don't think the content of the material has really matured because, like we said, he's brash, he's rowdy, he's still
20.
A young kid. Still a young kid. But he's just trying to show that he can put something together in a cohesive manner and that his intentions are laser-focused, which I think he accomplishes with this.
Well, for me, I thought there were just some incredible sounds on this record. A lot of the pads and the ambient sounds, like Tom was saying. I think the beats are undeniable. The flow is incredible. But there were, I have to say, there were some songs, one track in particular near the end, that were I found deeply disturbing and almost hard to listen to at times. Not to take anything away from what he's accomplished on this record, but, you know, and art isn't always pretty. Sometimes it's in your face and it challenges you. But yes, some of the cuts were a hard listen.
Yeah, but I think this level of shock value that he's trying to accomplish, the horrorcore aspect of some of the songs, it's a consequence of his age.
I had no idea he was so young, so I'm excited to see where he's going in the coming years.
He's got more. He's got more in front of him for sure.
Lil Yachty and his record Lil Boat 2. There's no easy way to go from Lil Yachty to this, so I'll just hit it. So the artist is Johnny Greenwood. He just got robbed of his first Oscar for composing the score to Phantom Thread, but he's right back again with another score, this time for a movie called You Were Never Really Here.
I know, Robin, you and I were disappointed that he lost the Oscar, but I predict one day he will win one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people know him as a guitarist and keyboardist for Radiohead, but he's, you know, got an increasingly celebrated side career as a film score composer. And as you mentioned, he's got a second score this year. It's to this movie that's going to be released in April called You Were Never Really Here by director Lynn Ramsey. It stars Joaquin Phoenix as a hitman whose only weapon seems to be a ball-peen hammer.
He plays a guy who tracks down missing children.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and he's very low-tech, I'll say, in how he goes about...
Low-tech. Old school.
When I first saw the trailer for this film, You Were Never Really Here, the music immediately leapt out at me, and I was so excited when I found out that Greenwood had done it.
It's probably his least overtly orchestral score. I mean, especially compared to There Will Be Blood, probably his best, and Phantom Thread, and even The Master. It's, I think, his most diverse score. It's all over the place. So we put together just a little montage. So just to name three of the textures and moods here. Dense, atonal string textures inspired by Greenwood's hero, the Polish composer Krzysztof Penderecki.
Yeah.
EDM beats, and then a few glints of Greenwood's, you know, kind of trademark pearlescent guitar from Radiohead. Real amazingly different. I can't wait to see the movie and see how this music works in the scenes.
Yeah, excited for that one. Excited for this new record from Johnny Greenwood. Just one more record before we go, but real quickly, so many other great records out today that we didn't get to. Mm-hmm. David Byrne has his album American Utopia is out now, as is Jimi Hendrix's Both Sides of the Sky.
Yeah, and also Common, Robert Glasper, and Kareem Riggins have formed the supergroup known as August Green. Their debut album, self-titled debut, is out today as well.
And they will be playing our South by Southwest showcase.
Oh, nice little plug there.
Next mm-hmm. week.
And if you want a preview, they've already performed on NPR's Tiny Desk.
That's right. All right, last record for today, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Down, getting funky and grimy. Maybe
Love
in
it.
New Orleans,
Love
somewhere
it.
In the South, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, this record, it's called Tearing at the Seams. And the song we're hearing right now is called Shoe Boot. Soul, Southern rock, rhythm and blues.
Love the organ, love the horn charts.
I think anyone who knows his work is going to love this record. It's interesting to me that as much as this is steeped in Southern rock and soul, I think it's interesting that they worked with producer Richard Swift for this one, because he's known for more of his indie pop productions. He's worked with the Shins a lot. He's worked with the band Foxygen. But one of the things I think Richard Swift brings to this mix is he makes it feel very warm and intimate. Even when the songs get big, there's a roominess to them. Mm. But I really love the grooves on this one. There's great swagger to it, mm-hmm. and he is just super charming.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom, Sydney. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sydney. Thanks, Robin.
And a reminder, for a complete playlist of all the albums that we talked about, just look at the podcast description for this episode, the little write-up for this episode. You can also listen to full versions of these songs from these records and a whole lot of other great releases and our new Music Friday playlist from NPR Music. Go to npr.org/Spotify or just open up the Spotify app and search for NPR Music and you'll find it. For NPR Music and All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton.